introverted noise.
Hurry up, Daddy.
Let's do it.
Out to the right. 5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he puts
look at this.
To Mo Williams. Touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me.
All right, all right, all right, and welcome back to another episode of the Climbing the Pocket podcast. I am your host, Jason Brown. You can find me on Twitter at BrownJason. And, I mean, you know, it's becoming a habit now. Once again, we're down a man. Miles is not with us, but I guess, I mean, you know, we kind of replaced him. We're keeping the quotient, the ratio where they're supposed to be, I guess, if, you know, we're going like we normally do here. So, I guess we'll go in with the usual introductions, and then we got a special guest with a special announcement that we'll kick the show off with today. So I guess we'll start things off as we normally do. Hardest working man on draft Twitter, QB1. What's going on, my man?
Good, man. In the middle of this Cavs Warriors game right now. Cavs up 20-19 right now. Hopefully we get a good series.
Okay, all right. I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit more in just a little bit here. And Saxy Prince, the man of many jobs, many podcasts, many websites that he writes for, here with us tonight. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Yeah, man. We're back at it, you know, another week. Sun's setting right now at roughly 8:27 Central Time. So, yeah, it's been a good day. And, yeah, let's get into it.
Well, all right. Well, before we get into things, you know, over the last few weeks, we've had some announcements, some things that we've kicked off. We've, you know, partnered up with Purple PTSD, Vikings Territory, and also we had a teaser for, you know, a new venture that we will be kicking off here in not too long. And you know, longtime listener of the show, you've heard us give him a shout out on many occasions, usually when we're talking about basketball or something like that. But David. Hey, I guess the first thing I want to say is it Stefano, Stefano? Where do I put the emphasis on the syllables in your last name?
It's Stefano.
Stefano. There we go. David Stefano is joining us this evening because he has a very special announcement, something that we are very excited about at Climbing the Pocket. And David, I'm going to kick it to you. Tell us what you're working on, what you got going on here that the listeners might be interested in.
Well, I just first want off to thank Jason and the great people at Climbing the Pocket website and podcast for inviting me and my interesting take on the Minnesota Vikings. I've got an old buddy of mine named Drew Bunting who's going to join me in the mornings, and we're going to start out usually on Sunday mornings for a show called Good Morning Gjallarhorn, and we're going to do special features. We may even do cooking, but it's going to be along the line of light fare, like you'd see on a Good Morning show. We hope to bring you some talk on Vikings, both light and deep. And we hope to add, this is the kicker now, when we're talking about Vikings stats or something deep, rather than just superficial as to who looked good this last weekend, we're going to add a YouTube portion of this where we can display charts, graphs, and even clips. And we hope you all really enjoy it. We hope it gives you an opportunity to listen in the morning when the significant other's still in bed, or when you're starting out the barbecue grill and you needed something to listen to while everybody else is busy. So I want to thank again Climbing the Pocket folks for inviting us.
Yeah, man, and we are excited to have you. Really looking forward to it. And, you know, David is a multi-talented individual, and he's shared some of the things he can do with, you know, graphic design and stuff like that. And we are very excited to see the new element that he's going to bring to the Climbing the Pocket brand, and the different take on Vikings that the David is going to bring to things. He's been in the blogging game in some form or fashion for quite some time here. I think it's going to bring an interesting perspective and a different perspective than maybe sometimes you hear from us here on Climbing the Pocket. So looking forward to it. And really can't wait for you and Drew to get things kicked off.
Well, we look forward to it too, and hopefully you'll get the first episode this weekend.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, that was really it. Wanted to let you guys know that David is going to be a David and Drew are going to be a new addition to the Climbing the Pocket lineup, joining us here at on, I guess we'll call it the flagship show, Climbing the Pocket, Pocket Protectors, 15 Minutes with Flip, and now Good Morning Glarahorn. Am I saying that right, David?
No, it's Gjallarhorn.
Gjallarhorn. Good Morning Glarahorn. I will get that right before the first show airs. I promise. Gjallarhorn. Gjallarhorn. All right. Well, that's it, David. We got the announcement in, and now you know, I got to warn you here. We probably want to get you out of here because you know the basketball talk is about to start. So you know, I guess I will let you. That would be your cue to go back to enjoying your night before we get into the stuff you really have no desire to talk about.
Well, you guys enjoy the game, and I'll talk to you on Twitter.
Thanks, man. You have a good one.
Yeah, later.
See you, David.
See ya.
See you, David.
All right, all right, all right. That is it's gonna be fun. New addition, very different perspective, I think, that you'll get. But they are gonna be looking to pump out really you know, daily shows, morning shows, and the kind of the podcast with the video and the graphic overlay that David is able to do. They're gonna start testing that out probably next week, and it should be interesting. I don't know if those will come out every day because that feels like a lot of work, but for the ones that they are able to kind of add that that graphic element to, it's going to be a fun addition to the YouTube channel, and the podcast will be a new addition for us as well on the I guess the we'll call it the radio channel. So yeah, all right. Well, let's hop into it because we got a lot of stuff to talk about here and not a lot of time because I want to catch some of this basketball game y'all are watching right now. So first thing, I feel like we can't do this episode without talking about the thing that we've been yapping about in the group message here for the last couple of days. And
Oh boy.
I mean, you know, we've been beating up on Miles enough already, but yo, another day, another loss for Team Lightskin.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we gotta talk about it. This Drake Pusha T beef, where it seems like Pusha baited Drake into a battle that he was over his head in. So, Saxy Prince, you seem ready to go. Guess give me your I guess play by play of this beef. Walk us through it, and I guess maybe walk us through it in a bit of detail in case some of the listeners aren't into hip hop and don't really know what's going on with this rap battle that's ongoing at the moment. And I guess your thoughts on each of the shots that have been fired thus far, and where you think this will go next.
Yeah, man, I'm still a little bit shook because I wasn't expecting that on a Tuesday, you know, Tuesday evening. But basically how it started is Pusha T has an album that he came out with. It's called Daytona. And he has two tracks on it, one with Kanye and then one by himself, I believe. One of them is called Infrared, where he has a couple lines about Drake. And then he has another track called What Would Meek Do with Kanye. They took some shots at Drake. I mean, they were fairly subtle shots, not really anything that big, mostly like, you know, Drake just being a ghostwriter. Drake having a ghostwriter doesn't really write his own music, some of that stuff. So then Drake comes out with, I think that same day or the day after, Drake was probably ready, comes out with you know, a diss track called Doopy. And on that, he basically Whenever a hip hop artist sighs in the beginning of a track, like, you know, stuff is going to be on and popping. And Drake kind of hit him back. Like, he obviously talked, you know, he talked about, you know, Pusha T really not being that great on his label, not being like a really talented artist. You know, he hit him as far as not really being a dope boy like that. You know, like, he's not really selling drugs like that. And then Drake made the mistake, which a lot of young artists make, like, he brought in Pusha T's fiance or just family in general. And once you do that, you have to understand, like, all bets are off. Like, there's all chains get removed. Like, there's nothing you can't touch anymore. So Pusha T comes out with the story of a Donden, which is supposed to be Drake's new Adidas line or whatever and stuff, and it's patented after his well, that's kind of a mystery reveal that we learned that Drake potentially has a son called Adonis. But Pusha came at him, bodied him. It was, I told you, I'm still shook from it all, because Pusha talks about, Pusha talks about his father's relationship with his father and, you know, him abandoning him. He talks about how, you know, his mother never got married because of it. He talks about, like, one of the biggest bombshells is, like, Drake having a child with this French porn star. And, you know, we were all shocked because, you know, we didn't know Drake had a kid. Allegedly, we don't know yet. That's something that Drake could reveal in his next clapback. But, man, I'm still shook because, like, I don't think we've heard a body this bad since probably Sheetha, when Remy Ma came at Nicki Minaj. And then before that, you know, obviously the Drake and Meek Mill beef, and then I don't know. This I'm here for this. This is what I need this summer. I want it to go on all summer long. I need a new diss track every week. I mean, I'm just saying, like Robert Mueller is eventually going to hire Pusha T to go on his staff and stuff.
Or just and, Twitter. You know,
Or just Twitter,
you know, because Twitter will find anybody real quick. And, you know, we're not going to go too hard on you, because I stay messing up Nigerian names on this podcast and likely will mess up some Nigerian names later on in this podcast. But you said Doopy, probably want to go with Duppy on that one. And
Duppy, my bad.
Yeah, Adidon. You know, that's it. Adidon. You know, we good.
Adidon.
We good.
Yeah.
But we good. JR, my man, because I mean, I was kind of peripherally following along, but you were really the one there keeping us up to speed on the blow-by-blow of this whole thing as it was really kicking off early on. Based on where we are right now, man, what are your thoughts on things and where you think it's going to go next?
Yeah, man. So Drake took a 1-0 series lead. Pusha came back and won, stole home court advantage. That's where I'm at right now. Pusha killed him. That's the easiest way to put it. He baited Drake into this whole beef. Drake brought his family into it. And Pusha clapped back. That's what it was. That's what happened. I actually knew Drake had this kid. If you're like a close friend or a close fan of Drake, I don't know Drake personally. No, I don't. But I followed his career very closely. And he has admitted to having this kid. But if you don't really follow Drake that closely, you would never know. And obviously a lot of people really never knew about this kid that he was hiding. So Pusha brought that to light, and it'll be interesting to see exactly how Drake does come back. And everyone got nervous. They didn't know if Pusha was going to respond. It took him about 3 business days to respond. And, you know, that's like 3 years.
Not the 3 business days. I'm dead.
That's like 3 years in rap. 3 years
on Twitter right there. Yeah. And that's the funny thing that, like, for most of the things that, like, got people most hyped up was what I thought was funny, is that most of the things that really that Push came in at Drake about, that, you know, folks were really wild about. I mean, Drake's talked about in a song somewhere at some point, like his relationship with his dad, his mom, you know, women basically living off him and all that kind of stuff. I mean, Drake has talked about all of those things already, but I think it was the way Pusha came at him, like he was like his therapist or something. It's like, we're going to talk about this man to man. And then just like went in the middle of, you are hiding a child. It was like,
he didn't even rap that. He just said it. He just like, you are hiding a child.
And man, he said it like he put his hands on his shoulders when he was saying it. Like,
I know.
Hey, man.
Hey, sir. Listen here, sir. You need to. Pusha was not playing.
But for me, like, I don't know. Drake better come back soon, because the activities of today from Drake and his people, none of them were the move. You know, getting in the notes app and posting screenshots of you trying to explain away stuff from a PR perspective. And then, you know, and I guess, shoot, we haven't talked about the only thing in that whole diss that I really thought was just like super hard, was Push basically telling Drake that his best friend was gonna die.
Yeah, man.
Multiple sclerosis awareness day. Like, that was the one thing in the whole this, and I was like, ooh.
Yeah, because Push was like, okay, your dad left you. Your mom didn't get married because your dad's trash.
Yeah.
You are a trash father. And by the way, your friend's dying.
Like, you're like, God.
Come on, Pusha. God like, damn. God.
Like, man. But yeah, then today, it was just a bunch of sucker nonsense with, statements and financial disclosures being released and all that. I mean,
you said it. You did say it out there because I sent it to some of my boys, and I mean, I even talked with Arif about it. Drake obviously has a fan base that he knows that some of the fan base just doesn't care about all this beef stuff. They just want to hear Drake on a track or whatever the case is. So I understand. It's like you said, I understand him putting it out, but someone told me, it's just like, it may be a weakness of Drake to even have put that out, because if that's something that you want to address, give us 3 or 4 bars that let us know this is what's happening. It's like, okay, well, that's another point. Like, that's a point that Drake could have won in this next track.
Yeah.
Maybe he still goes in on it, but
Yeah, and I think that was the funny thing. The thing that we were talking about is like this hip hop stuff, and again, the people I feel most charged up about this, like Drake Pusher hip hop thing, are old hip hop heads, who are just loving like that the old guy is actually winning in this particular beef. But Drake's like, the majority of Drake's fan base, I mean, he's a pop star, he's a pop star. And so like blackface coming out with Drake, he got to go explain that to the people who might not be listening to the freestyle on SoundCloud. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Like, yep. He got to go have that conversation. So it'll be interesting to see if he's able to get back to it on the hip hop side of things, and how he's able to recover from what are some very, very sucker moves from a hip hop perspective, going out there and having to release, statements and disclosures and all that stuff. But let's keep this thing moving along, because I feel like we could probably do an entire podcast talking about all that stuff and digging into the diss tracks line by line by line by line by line. But there's a lot of other stuff going on here. And I'm going to skip the next thing we got in the bullets, because, that'll be a quick one. It's something that we can get to pretty easy, because the next thing that we lined up to talk about is so much more fun. And JR, I'm going to kick this one to you first. Tell me about the burners, man. What is going on with your man, Brian, and his wife, and fake accounts? Talk about players, talk about Joel Embiid. What is going on? Again, this is another story that, JR dropped in the group chat, and I don't think any of us said anything for like the next hour, because everyone was kind of reading the story and doing our Twitter detective work. But man, this is crazy. Yeah, man, what's going on here, dude?
it was crazy. One of the craziest sports stories of the year by far. So what happened was Brian Colangelo, who was the GM of the 76ers, had reportedly 3 to 5 burner accounts. And all a burner account is it's a secret account where you monitor what's going on Twitter. And 90% of NBA and NFL executives have these secret accounts that they don't necessarily tweet from, but they use it just to see and spy what guys are saying, or players on their team, what they're saying, just to make sure that they're not saying anything crazy. But
like Rick Spielman has an account, just so everyone knows that. So.
Yeah, so what happened, where he crossed the line, was he was tweeting, taking shots at players, leaking secret information about the organization, and taking shots at Sam Hinkie, which is the guy that's known best for the whole slogan called Trust the Process, and where they were openly tanking and trying to get high picks, which they ended up getting, and using that to select Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, who was their top two players within the organization. So just shedding some light on some of the stuff that he was saying. The craziest thing that I saw was that he called Nerlens Noel, who was a former center of the 76ers, he called him a selfish punk because of the comments that he had about the team not re-signing him and just the attitude that he had towards management. He talked about Jahlil Okafor and his knee and how that blocked them from trading him. Before he was ultimately traded to the Nets, he called out Joel Embiid about his knee issues, and he said some stuff about Ben Simmons dating, I think it was Tinashe at the time. So it was a lot of stuff that he was saying on this account. And come to find out, that what leaked today was that the account actually belonged to his wife, reportedly, after the 76ers launched a secret investigation about everything. So it's a crazy story. It came out on The Ringer originally, so just go up and read on that. I'm sure Jason will attach it to the show notes for those that are listening and they want to read it. So it's a crazy story.
Yeah, man. I feel like the craziest part of that story was, you know, I know they tried a failed, I think, show with Jeremy Pivens where, like, he, you know, his daughter was murdered or something, and they, you know, give all the information to the internet to have the internet try to solve the crime. But I feel like that could work in real life because Twitter was on it with a quickness. Found Colangelo's wife's, like, cell phone number from an award she got at, like, their son's school a couple years ago, and then linked it back to the password recovery for the accounts and all that. Like, they had that figured out quick, fast, in a hurry. People were even out there analyzing the fact that she put the dollar sign after the three on a tweet, and that's how they do it in Italy because she's Italian. And I was like, boy.
And I think the push of this dropped and that story dropped the same night.
It was crazy.
The same day. Yeah. It was Roseanne in the morning. Yeah. It was Pusha T in the evening. And then it was this at night, man.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was a crazy day on Tuesday.
Yeah, Prince, I guess what are your thoughts on the whole burner accounts and hollering at players and all that kind of stuff? And I guess, did you have anything else you wanted to add on that crazy story?
Nothing significant. It's like you said, you know, Rick Spielman has an account. All these guys have the account. So it's not surprising. It's just crazy to think that a guy would have five of them and then not only like monitor but also like use it as a form to trash other players. Like, it's just crazy to me, man. Like,
do y'all think Dave Gettleman has an account?
He probably had like two or three.
We out here talking about like all these NFL GMs have accounts, and I'm gonna go ahead and say that there's probably a sizable percentage of the NFL GMs who don't have accounts. They probably have like assistant GMs or somebody on the staff or a scout or somebody who has an account. But I would venture a guess that a sizable percentage of NFL GMs don't know how to use social media.
Oh, they don't probably use it themselves, but
they have someone who might do it, but can't imagine, was it Gettleman who's like hogwash when someone talked to him about math? Yeah. Was that Gettleman?
Yeah.
I can't imagine him out there.
John Gruden having Twitter.
I can't imagine Gettleman out there like monitoring players on Twitter.
And then our good friend Charles McDonald at @4verts on Twitter, he said that Dave Gettleman's still searching MySpace, players MySpace.
He hasn't posted in like 10 years.
That might have to be a show, Simon. We'll pick your top eight. Take it back.
people felt some type of way when you pushed them down that top eight.
Oh yeah, you did. When you went from two to three, hey, like, hey, bro, what I do, man? Like, we just hung out last night.
Yeah, you had stuff you had to answer for with that top eight, man. All right, well, let's keep this thing moving along. I'm gonna give y'all a little easy thing to talk about here before I really put y'all to work. So, JR, we were talking about the finals a little bit earlier. What's your prediction? How you think this thing's gonna go?
I'm going to go Warriors in six. I think LeBron can will the Cavs to two wins, but I just don't see them winning the series. I think it's highly unlikely, so I'm going to go Golden State in six games.
Okay. All right. Okay. Sexy Prince, what about you? What you think?
I still think it's going to be the Warriors in five. If Klay's out, I mean, he's back in the game right now, but, I mean, if any one of them miss significant time, then I could see Bron being able to steal another game. But again, he's going to have to play 48 minutes, maybe even 49, every single game to make sure that they can even at least stay in the game. That's not even to say to win it, but just like stay relevant within the game. So I still say Warriors in five. If Bron can win both these games, then maybe Warriors in six. But it's going to be tough.
Okay. All right, and the Cavs are out to a good start so far. So, hey, you know, who knows? Maybe we do have a compelling series on our hands here. All right, well, hope y'all are ready. Because, you know, y'all put me on the spot last week, so, you know, I figure I'll return the favor here just a little bit. And in honor of the spelling bee, we're going to have a little spelling bee here. JR versus Saxy Prince. And Yes, well, we'll say first to four wins. If either of you can get the four before I run out of names. All right. So I didn't flip a coin, but you know, JR, you're the QB, so you go first. And basically, you know, I'm gonna need you to spell this name for me here. So Barkevious Mingo.
Barkevious, B A R K E V I O U S M I N G O.
Okay, all right, that is one for JR.
Cool.
All right. JR was ready. Saxy Prince. JR got the first one here with Barkevious Mingo.
Yeah, man. All right.
Okay, so you are up now, and I need you to spell Ezekiel Ansah.
Ooh, that's easy.
Ooh. I should have had a paper so I could write it down. I'm going to say easy, E-K-I-A-L. Not IAL.
I get extra points for stealing.
Okay, yeah, we'll give you an opportunity to steal, but hold on. The first, because Saxy Prince, I'm very disappointed. You.
Oh, my bad.
It's terrible, Saxy Prince. I need you to do better.
I had AL as EL. My bad.
All right, JR for the steal.
So is it E-Z-E-K-I-E-L? A-N-S-A-H.
Boom.
There it is.
All right. Well, for the steal for JR, we're going back to JR. He can take a commanding lead in the series on this one here. JR, spell O.C. Umenyora.
Woo! Oh, God.
He said, Lord.
O-S-I-U-M-E-N-Y-O. U-R-A? I don't know. Yeah. Figured that one was wrong.
I'm not gonna lie, you were close though. Saxy Prince for the steal.
Can you use it in a sentence, please?
Spell O.C. Umenyora.
Country of origin.
That sound like your people, bro.
Yeah. O.C. O-S-I. I'm saying it in my head. E N Y I O R A.
That is correct. Woo! That is correct. All right, Saxy Prince trying to bring himself back into this. And Prince, we're going to you again.
So all you needed to do is just give me a name of my people.
I have it. So, all right. Yeah. Prince, it's going to be important for you to get this next one here.
Okay.
So next one we're going to is Legadu Nane. Ooh, Legadu Nane.
Give me a second. Let me think. You said Legadu. I have to say it in my head. If I don't say it in my head, I'm good.
Do what you need to do. Legadu Nane.
Legadu Nane. Okay. L E G E D U N A N E E. Damn it.
You were close.
Is there another? I think I know where I messed up too.
Yeah.
I know where I messed up too.
Okay. JR, do you want to go for the steal?
Yeah, I remember him from Boise State, so this is easy.
Damn.
All right, let's do it.
L-E-G-E-D-U N-A-A-N-E.
Yeah. That's where I knew I messed up.
And JR has got it. And now for the win. Let's see if he has learned his lesson straight from JR's Twitter feed.
Oh, geez. Oh, Lord.
Hushmanzada.
Oh, that's easy. I broke it down today to make sure I wouldn't spell it right. Obviously, TJ All right. HOUSHMANDZADH.
Boom. Damn. There it is. There it is. QB1 is victorious.
My Nigerian parents would be very disappointed that I lost the spelling. So.
The funny thing is, you go and I Google difficult to pronounce NFL names, and like the entire list is Nigerians. Like yep. The whole list is Nigerian. Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't do it. We don't do anything easy. Everything is difficult.
Yeah. Like everybody is Nigerian on this list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the next time we do this, Prince, you know. I expect you to do a little bit better. You know, we got some Namdi. We got some Namdis on here for you.
Oh God, I can never spell his name.
Yeah, man. All right, so JR takes that one, and so all right, let's keep this thing moving along. Rapid fire, Prince. Give you first shot here, getting back on the good foot. Mm-hmm. Should jersey numbers be retired? Yes or no, and a quick explanation.
I'll lean towards yes because of a guy like Randy Moss, but I think it takes someone of that caliber for me to be like, okay, this jersey number should be retired. But I understand there's some mentality around it. So I only say yes because that number will always be associated with the caliber of player that player was. So I'll say yes.
Okay. All right. JR, where are you going with this one?
Yes, but it should be saved for very sacred or generational talent type of players like a Randy Moss. So I would lean towards yes.
So when you guys were saying, so like you look, you know, numbers can be like honored, put up in like, you know, a ring of honor or something like that, but only like a select few people from that ring of honor would be kind of worthy of having their number retired and never worn again.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It has to be someone that like dang near changed the game of football. Like
somebody, like a talent we'll never see again.
Yeah,
that's fair. That's fair. You know, who knows? Maybe we got one of those in this next forced dichotomy we have coming up here. Because JR, you know, you like to stir things up, get people talking on Twitter.com. So, assuming both stay healthy, would you rather have Jalen Ramsey or Joey Bosa for the next 10 years? That was the question JR asked on Twitter, posted a poll shortly thereafter. And yeah. We have the results here, obviously, but we'll start it off with you, JR. I guess which way are you going on this one here? Do you want the elite young edge rusher or the elite young corner?
Yeah, so we talked about this in the group chat, and we all know who our answer was, but I'm just going to go and play devil's advocate just to swing the other way. So I'm going to go with Joey Bosa because he's a year younger than Jalen Ramsey, and he plays a premium position. And personally, I value defensive ends a bit higher than corners. And you can scheme around a cornerback, but it's much tougher to scheme around defensive end because he's much closer to the ball. So, and I think Bosa, he's just a guy that's scratching the surface of how good he really can be. And I put up a stat about a week ago of guys that have the most sacks at 23 years old and younger. And Joey Bosa was already, I believe, seventh on that list. And he still has another year to play under his belt while he's 23 years old. So he could climb up that list even more. And I think he's at, I believe it was 23 and a half sacks right now. So he can be much higher on that list. And he could eventually end up being at the top. I think it was, I want to say Robert Quinn at the top with 34 and a half. So I'm going to go with Joey Bosa.
Okay. All right. That is a compelling argument. That is a pretty good argument. Saxy Prince, what is your counter argument? Saxy Prince, Yinka, you still with us? I mean, I can see you there.
My bad. Oh, I had
you were just yelling at mute again. Okay,
yelling at mute.
Like okay. Yeah. So which way, you know, JR laid it down there for Bosa. Really good argument. Where,
yeah, he did.
You know, what's your counter argument?
Oh yeah, I'll go with Jalen Ramsey. Obviously, this has been a league that's transformed as far as being a passing league. Jalen Ramsey, in my opinion, is one of the top corners in the game at being as young as he is. And it's really important to have a corner that really can either shut down his side of the field or shut down a number one wide receiver. Now, we have enough teams in the league who still kind of operate under, you know, having that number one wide receiver that's like far above all the other wide receivers. And if that's the threat, that's the person that you have to stop. And really to take away their passing game, you take away this player that's still a good majority of their offense. So being able to do that in this league in today's day and age is highly important. So I got to go Jalen Ramsey. He's still young. I think he still can develop to be even more of an elite corner. And I don't know. I just love watching his interviews. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll break the tie on this one because the right answer is Jalen Ramsey, because coverage is more valuable than, you know, defensive pressures. And if you'd like further evidence of that fact, you can go to twitter.com, look up PFF underscore Eric Eager. He had a very compelling discussion with Brian Burke from ESPN, where they discussed this very same topic. It's also discussed on the PFF Forecast, which is Eric and George's podcast. And they get into that in a bit more detail, explaining why, from a mathematical perspective anyway, coverage is more valuable than defensive line play and pressure. So yeah, I will go with Jalen Ramsey as well. All right. I'm kind of worried about bringing this thing up because, you know, I mean, dude doesn't even play for the Vikings anymore. So I feel like we're not allowed to talk about him or anything, but it's crazy what's going on here. You know, I was riding along the other day and listening to the XM radio in the car, and they did like about half an hour of a segment where they were just talking about Teddy Bridgewater and all the hype that was coming out about him. Had a New York beat reporter on to talk about Teddy and just what everyone's saying, and how all the beat reporters were just shocked at how good he looks and how great he's been moving around, and, you know, how the ball has been jumping out of his hand. I've seen some articles where they're, you know, interviewing the players, and you can already tell that he's, I guess, in a way, won that locker room over, where players are talking about just his leadership already and his competitiveness and his drive and how it makes everyone out there want to be at their best every day. And I know that, you know, before the, though, I guess right after the draft, there was the conversation where I was like, ooh, man, Teddy really messed up going to New York because they drafted Darnold. Everyone knew they were going to get a QB. Josh McCown is there, and he played pretty well last season. But now all we have heard is Teddy Bridgewater hype pretty much nonstop coming out of Jets OTAs thus far. JR, what are your thoughts on this? Do you believe the hype on Teddy Bridgewater and what's going on there? And how do you think this whole situation ends up working itself out?
Well, first, I want to say I told y'all he was going to get that number five back. From Christian Hackenberg.
You did tell us. You did tell us that.
That did take one.
John Gruden.
Right. But I think it's a combination of both. I think a lot of people are just happy to see Teddy back on the field because of what happened with his old injury situation. And Mike Zimmer's comments really didn't paint a really good picture for him, saying that he really still isn't healthy to this point and he still was recovering. And the videos that they have shown of him playing with or in practice with the Jets have been very encouraging as far as him rolling out and throwing the ball, dropping back and throwing the ball with a sense of urgency, not really favoring that knee at all. So that stuff is really good to see. And I think some of it is just a combination of the Jets wanting to see good quarterback play as well. That's something that they haven't seen there in a while. And obviously Sam Darnold is in the building, and Josh McCown, he was decent for them last year. He's going to be their veteran stopgap for the most part. Just, it's kind of a breath of fresh air seeing Teddy in the building. But on the flip side of that, I think they're smart. They know that Sam Darnold is the future of that team. Said Teddy Bridgewater is not going to be there for multiple years because they invested the number three overall pick in Sam Darnold. So it's going to be his team of the future. Now, the good thing about Teddy is that they don't have to rush Darnold onto the field because they can experiment with Teddy and they can see what they have in Teddy, because they don't, their future is not tied to Teddy Bridgewater, and anything that he gives them is an added incentive to this point. And the media is playing it the right way, and the Jets are using the media the proper way as well. We all know the Jets media, or the New York media, is like piranhas. They're going to eat you alive if you're doing good or if you're doing bad. So they're using it to bump up his trade value right now, but if he starts playing bad, we know it'll go the other way. But for right now, they're pumping him up as much as they can because I think they're trying to build his trade value. So it'll be interesting to see exactly what happens with the situation. But I think it's a little bit of a combination of both of them wanting to bump up his trade value. But also I think he's doing pretty well, but it is still OTAs right now.
Okay. All right. Saxy Prince, How many of these articles about Teddy have you already clipped out and you know, put on the poster on the wall? And just what are your thoughts on everything that you're hearing on the Teddy Bridgewater front? And then I'm going to ask you a question. I'm nervous about asking you, but I'm going to ask it anyway because, you know, why not? If by some strange stretch of things, Teddy Bridgewater comes out and balls for New York, how does that affect things, if at all, back here in Minnesota? That's a lot there. I'll answer in whatever order you feel like answering.
I will say, I haven't actually read any of the Teddy articles and stuff. I've actually, weirdly enough, I've seen the tweets and stuff, and you know, I saw the tweet from the New York guy, and then I know it started making its rounds when Tom Pelissero really was commenting on everything. Like, I think it's great. I think JR touched on, you know, kind of both sides. Obviously, the Jets, if they really want to start competing this year, maybe get a year ahead of, you know, where they want to, it'd be great. I think, you know, I think it's more so for the trade value as far as Teddy. You pump him up, you know, maybe you get, you know, a third round pick or, you know, something else if he or a second round pick if you really feel like he's at that level. Still OTAs, can't really say much. Still has not played football with, you know, with the pads on and, you know, high amount of velocity contact and stuff. So still have to take it with a grain of salt. I'm happy for him. I still think he's going to be a great player in this league. I guess to answer your second question, at the end of the day, it's like, I know that the Vikings made a decision to just move on because they wanted to stop answering the quarterback position. So even if Teddy balls, it's like, you know, good for him. He was probably always going to do that, whether he was here or where he was somewhere else. I think it has less to do on how well Teddy does, and I think it has more to do with how well Kirk is going to do. You know, because even if Teddy balls, if Kirk balls as well too, then, you know, it washes itself out. Well, the Vikings made an investment for their future. But so, yeah, I think it has everything to do with Kirk and not Teddy, even though I wish him the best.
Okay. Wow. Yinka has not read any of the Teddy articles.
Yeah, that seriously. I was just like,
that is amazing. Yeah. We might have to put a poll on to see how many people actually believe that after this. How many folks out there believe Yinka is not keeping up with the Teddy news?
I'm really not, man.
Okay. All right. I believe you, bro. If you say it, yeah. I believe it. All right. Well, we made it, guys. We made it. Oh, nope, we didn't. Zaxy Prince, it's time for you to go on the hot seat. So I'm going to stop talking, because I do probably too much of that on this show as it is. And I'm going to turn it on over here to QB1 for our current edition of the 2-Minute Drill. Get him, JR.
Yeah, so for those that missed last week's pod, we started a new segment called the 2-Minute Drill. It's something that we're going to end every podcast on. And all it is I'll ask a series of questions, 10 questions, to a certain person. Or they can ask me a series of questions depending on who's up that day. Today, Yinka is up. He has to successfully answer these questions, and they're just open-ended questions in a matter of 2 minutes. So the chains are set. The refs are about to blow the play live. Let's play ball. Yinka, are you ready?
I'm ready, sir. I've been ready all week, man. Excited for this.
Jason, you ready?
Jason. Let's do it.
All right. Here we go. Start the time. Yinka, one superpower you wish you could have?
Telekinesis.
I will allow it.
To be able to lift things with your mind, that's a superpower.
Yeah, I'm saying I will allow it. You know,
okay.
Do it.
Which one? A weekend of playing the sax or football on Sundays?
Ooh, that's a good one. If I could play at like a gig or some kind of venue, we could play in the sax.
A bow tie or a regular necktie? Which one do you prefer?
Oh, definitely a necktie.
For 24 hours straight, if your life depended on it, would you rather watch a looping highlight of Adrian Peterson or Black Panther?
I will say, because I've already kind of done this accumulated time, I'll say 24 Hours of Black Panther.
Most overrated sports movie ever.
Ooh. Overrated sports movie. Ooh, this one's a hard one.
Come on, sir. The delayed game clock is about to go off.
Let's go. You can't say Drumline.
I'll say Draft Day.
Ooh.
Might
be a flag on the play for that one. Keep it going. Keep it going.
Yes or no? Saquon Barkley has over 1,800 all-purpose yards next season.
No.
If you were a GM, which one would you rather have on your resume, Ryan Leaf or Jamarcus Russell?
Jamarcus Russell.
Did you watch Nickelodeon?
I did. Loved it.
Would you rather have Rocket Power or Hey Arnold?
Ooh, I'll say Rocket Power. Way more in Rocket Power than Hey Arnold.
Okay.
Two more questions. Who has more wins next season, the Bills or the Browns?
The Browns.
Last one. One night stand, Whoopi Goldberg or Rosie O'Donnell?
Wow. I'm going to say Whoopi Goldberg because I watch The View every single morning. Ooh. And she has the best. She has some of the best. She can just control that panel. And I know she was just getting a point where she's just going to be like, she's going to control the entire setting of everything. So I'm cool with it. So. Yeah.
All right. I am not following up on this one because this conversation might get the podcast kicked off of iTunes. You made it, Prince. Well done. Also, I feel like Whoopi Goldberg is the only actual answer you could actually make on that one that made sense because of things and stuff. Yeah, but let's keep this thing moving here. And we're going to talk about recent projects, upcoming projects. JR, my man. You've been putting in some work, you know, signed up here with Inside the Pylon. Really, really like the latest that you put out there. I guess, can you tell the listeners a little bit about it?
Yeah, so I just released an article yesterday talking about quarterbacks and their heir apparent. So basically, it outlines why veteran quarterbacks should be required to mentor or bring along these younger quarterbacks throughout the NFL that are coming in throughout the NFL. And I highlighted the Ben Roethlisberger, Mason Rudolph situation, and the Lamar Jackson and Joe Flacco situation, along with a lot of others. And the basic guideline that I used it or based it upon was how Alex Smith treated the Patrick Mahomes situation. So make sure to check that out. Also, next week, I got an article coming out on Inside the Pylon where I got a chance to interview two current NFL scouts, and they were fortunate enough to take me through an entire calendar year. And I'm going to give fans a glimpse of exactly what they talked about. So be on the lookout for that next week.
Yeah, man. Great stuff. Sounds, the scouts piece, that sounds interesting because I know a lot of people think they want that jobs, but a lot of things that I have read or heard on podcasts about it say that maybe it's not as glamorous as people have it out to be in their heads. So I'm interested to see what these scouts gave you and kind of how they laid out what the job looks like for them over the course of that full year. So really looking forward to that. And definitely check out JR's latest on veteran QBs and how they should handle the incoming guys. I will put that in the show notes for certain. Prince, have I missed anything from you here recently, or do you have anything in the hopper?
You kind of mentioned it like early in the show. I'm now kind of in my like making music mode. So I've been really just trying to put together like a lot of these like, you know, samples and podcast ditties and like all sorts of music that I've been working on. So trying to transition into that as well too. I'm still, you know, when I can take a break, I'll go back into like kind of really diving into football and stuff. I know me and Arif are actually working on a project coming up soon, but you know, it's still kind of in the works.
Is it going to be about anime?
It is not. It'll be football, okay. It'll be football related.
Okay. All right.
That would be dope though.
That would certainly be dope. And if you haven't already, listeners, I put out a piece early in the week ranking all the offensive lines in the NFL. Check it out. Let me know what you think. Let me know why I messed up on your team, which is weird on an article like this. The only fan base that was like that really kind of pushed back on the rankings was Baltimore. Most everyone else was like, yeah, you know, we know our team stinks. And then the next thing that I'm working on here is I'm going to work on the weapons for, you know, each of the 32 teams. And then I'm going to put it all together to kind of wrap it up with an article saying, kind of which quarterback has the best supporting cast. And, you know, maybe there'll be some surprises in there, some quarterbacks who will be able to play at a higher level than expected just based on what's going on around them. So, yeah, I will hope to have those two things out probably early next week and post it on climbingthepocket.com. That's it. That's the show. We made it. I don't think we said anything that will get us in too much trouble this week.
Maybe my 2-minute drill. But
you know, maybe. No, maybe we came close. I think we tiptoed on the line, but we didn't cross over it. So we're good. Before we get out of here, just, you know, make sure you are checking out our friends over at Purple PTSD. Check out the Purple Journal podcast. Check out our friends over at Viking Territory. They have dropped some fun things this week. Subscribe to us on iTunes, YouTube, and anywhere else that you can get podcasts. And yeah, that's about it. Talk to you soon. We'll talk to you soon. Miles, we miss you. Get to work on that internet. Holla.
Hey, man, keep working on your handles, bro.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Ooh. Ooh.
We need this filmed.
So listeners, just so you know, even though we said rep out of here, this will probably just be going on while the music is playing anyway. But since we had the 2-minute drill last week and I said that Miles would beat Yinka in 1-on-1, Yinka has played basketball every day, sometimes twice a day.
Every night.
Getting in work, putting up shots, doing drills, finding college kids to go play with, and then destroying them to get himself ready for the showdown with Miles. So we're gonna need to get this on film, and that might be the battle to finally decide all things between Team Dark Skin and Team Light Skin.
Just don't let me shoot, bro. Don't let me shoot.
All right, boys. I'll talk to y'all later. Have a good one.
Yeah.